Good morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show, coming to you from New Orleans, with host Tanya Brown. Our episodes span about 20 minutes long to give you just a little pop of magic. So, tune in, take a deep breath, and enjoy.
Good morning. It is November 28th, 2022. It is Monday. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. Today's episode is brought to you by Rising Goddess. So let's get your day going with a little magic. Our quote of the day is, "Kindness is like snow. It beautifies everything it covers," by Khalil Gibran. So, before we get going, I wanted to touch on something that, honestly, the world is just wild, right? And it's been hard for a while. We have almost created this culture where we expect everyone to speak on things immediately, and then if they don't, we vilify them, and which I would like for us to get away from that. You know, people, even creators, deserve time to process and to, deal with traumas and their communities and things like that. But we're not there yet. So I'm not going to talk about this long, but I am going to talk about it briefly. Another shooting happened, all too common, sadly. This time it was a gay club. Another hate crime fueled on by extreme views and encouragement of violence. So I'm not going to go in depth about it. It's everywhere. You know, if you don't know the story, it's very easy to find people talking about it with great detail and very in depth. And, you can find it, and I'm sure it has found you, but I do want to say something I'm sure a lot of people feel. I think my listenership, we've filtered out, because, we have filtered out, people by now. And I do think probably everyone listening feels what I feel. And it's that I'm exhausted. I can't remember the last time I haven't felt like I don't remember the last time it was. I didn't feel just beaten down by the extremism and the hate. It's feeling more and more like our lives are centered around these really evil, hateful people. It's people who hate women, gay people, trans people, non-Christians, non-quote-unquote patriots. It's horrific that this keeps happening over and over and over and over and over again. And what's worse is it feels like the people with the podiums and in these mega churches and these people who are writing laws have so much power, and they use so much of that power to encourage hate. And they use this power to become the main topic of all of our lives. Our dinner tables, our workplaces, even though, not supposed to, but I think it does. And they have all this power over us. And it's like there's no rest. There's no rest, not for anybody. And I'm emotionally and I'm mentally tapped. And a lot of people I know are. A friend of mine messaged me very, very briefly. We were talking about something, and he was just like, "So the shooting?" And I said, "Yep." He's like, "I just can't talk about it." And I said, "Yep." some people have the spoons to talk about it. And if you have the ability, please, make the noise and do what you need to do. But some of us don't. And some of us have nothing left. So I guess my advice for people is, if a friend tells you that they don't want to talk about it anymore, that they're exhausted, that they just need for these people to not be the center of their lives. Let them rest. You know, let them have moments of their life that isn't about these people anymore. These people who are just hateful and, you know, miserable and encourage things like what happened. And yeah, so that's all I've got to say. As always, there will always be people who speak Finnish better. I'm not a political science. Just a reminder. I try to remind people this every time something happens, but turn to people who are educated in the topic. You know, I am not a political science major. I am not a journalist. I am a creative and an academic. And that means I know a lot about really niche things that most people, don't really care about. So turn towards the people who have been doing the work for years and years and years, who know what to do next, who know the best way to respond, who know the best way, instead of just looking for these echo chambers across, you know, like these creators, you know? Anyways, that's all. So let's move on. Let's just have our day. It is Monday. It is Monday. And we are entering the weird limbo of the weird limbo of like the next 4 weeks mean nothing to nobody. That's like what it feels like. Because from Thanksgiving to Christmas, it's a little fuzzy fuzz. And then, oh God, Christmas to New Year just shouldn't even exist. Does anything happen but voids and interdimensional kerfuffles, you know? But we are in the time where we're diving into it. So let's get our day going. What are we drinking together? Ooh, it feels right. Ritual fire. Let's just throw it all in the fire. Fuck it. Whatever. So this tea, it brings a lot of warmth and comfort, and is best drank around a lovely bonfire. So this has honeybush, hazelnuts, cocoa nibs, and it helps relax and ground you, which I need. Spice blend of aniseed, cinnamon, clove, orange peel offers comfort and zest. Apples and rose hips add soft sweetness, while lapsang and red peppercorn, ooh, this is a good tea. It's very quirky. Offers hints of smoke and flickering spark of heat. A perfect tea for fireside enjoyment or downtime dreaming. I really like this tea. It is very, very unique. The people who love it, love it. Like, it's very fascinating. But speaking of grounding, I decided to kind of throw in the towel for NaNoWriMo. I was about halfway through the 21st. I just decided I was done. And here's the thing. I won NaNo last year, and that's actually a pace I do pretty regularly. So NaNo was really meant to just show you that you can do it. And that's just not a lesson I need to learn right now. I know I can do it, and I've done it multiple times. I have a good writing routine. I'm pretty disciplined with it. So I feel very okay with kind of throwing the towel in. Ultimately, I've had a hard few months. Like I said, I'm tapped. I'm emotionally tapped. I know a lot of people like to say they're going into their villain era. I'm not. I'm going into my Hig era, where I just want to be cozy. I just want to be cozy and quiet, and I want to drink hot chocolate, and I want to read books, and that's all I want. I just want to read books and drink hot cocoa. That's it. So this is a perfect tea for it because it really is very grounding, very comforting. I think we probably have maybe one or two left in sipaspell.com. Don't forget, we still have our 30% off site-wide code Black Friday. And basically, my goal is that you guys just clear out my stock so I can do a new stock with a brand new tea starting in January. So Let's move into, oh no, let's actually talk about the tea. I'm sorry. It's weird. Let's talk about the tea. This comes to us from simpleloosleaf.com, which is a really great tea company. I do enjoy them. I really like their pellet tea. It's really good. So what is honeybush? Honeybush, which we talked about last week, is a South African herbal tea. We talked about it pretty in depth last week, so I'm not going to get into it too much, but I am going to talk about its supposed benefits. It is said to help with anti-aging, weight loss. It has antioxidants, anti-cancer, anti-mucogenic properties, and it's really good. We talked about it quite a bit last week, and I think that is very sufficient. So, moving on to our headlines. This comes to us from Dominican Today. Despite the crisis, Haiti holds its annual voodoo party. Despite the unprecedented crisis in all areas of the country and the exponential rise in unsafety, hundreds of Haitians gathered on November 1st, on the day of the Gede Festival, in celebration of the voodoo religion dedicated to the dead. Women and children dressed in white shirts and purple scarves venerate the spirits, or loas, during the festival, which is held every year in Haiti on November 1st and 2nd. The great cemetery of Port-au-Prince, a true city within a city, with social class divisions, animals, churches, is one of the locations for this party. Prayers of all kinds, inquiries, and wishes are heard during the Gede days, the spirit of death, as the women wash their intimate areas in rum in chili. However, white or aged rum poured on tombs, skulls, and bones predominates the food, coffee, money, flowers, or candles left in the tombs. Cemeteries are one of voodoo's most mystifying locations, which is why there are potent magical rituals performed there, particularly those that purge evil spirits. Very cool. All right, witches, I'm going to throw this over to our moon correspondent, and then after this break, we will talk more.
Hello to all of my astro friends. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Monday, November 28th. The waxing crescent moon forges its own path in Aquarius today. Here, the moon squares its ruler, Uranus. Uranus likes to shake things up and doesn't care where things land when it's done. It has no agenda, so it's not looking to change things for better or for worse. It just wants things to be different. With the moon square to Uranus, we might not like where these changes leave us, as it could end up presenting us with unforeseen challenges. It's best to meet these challenges head on and one at a time. It can be a bit overwhelming when the unexpected happens, but if we stay nimble, we can get through this day unscathed. Your daily moon mantra is, failure is a failure to adapt. Success happens with successful adaptation. This has been your Daily Moon Mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
Rising Goddess is a unique metaphysical shop in Western New York. We offer crystals, spell ingredients, spiritual readings, and more. We support our local pagan community with rituals, tea, and a chat. Check out our website at risinggoddessny.com to view our offerings. Classes are available to stream as well. Again, that's risinggoddessny.com.
I am back. If you're ever wondering what on earth does Tanya do during the break, I update the link tree, witchpod.com. I update those links for you so I don't forget, because fun fact about me, the moment I stop recording or am on video with someone, I forget absolutely everything I said I was going to do. So I have to do it during the break. All right, we are back. So we are responding to a question we got about 2 weeks ago from listener, I think it was Sherry. And Sherry talked about having a dream after consuming a lot of chocolate. So Lefty found an article from PortlandChocolateLab.com. Does chocolate cause nightmares? A guide to chocolate and bad dreams. So let's talk about it. Let's see. So there's like a little evidence that chocolate might be linked to bad dreams. With so much conflicting information online, it's hard to know what to believe these days. However, chocolateholics need not worry, for the most part. Although a certain sleep disorder called rapid eye movement sleep behavior disorder, which is present in only 1 in 200 people, could be exacerbated by eating chocolate, the average person doesn't have to worry. Chocolate itself has been used for centuries for its power to reduce anxiety and stress. Researchers now know that the power comes from the chemical tryptophan, which is that in Turkey? Which the body used to produce neurotransmitter serotonin. Serotonin is essential for the production of melatonin, the hormone that helps regulate sleep. Sounds like chocolate may actually be as beneficial as a nighttime snack. So why could chocolate cause nightmares? If you suspect chocolate is the culprit for a restless night of bad dreams, you may be surprised. It's probably not the chocolate. It could be the sugar or caffeine in some chocolate candy causing you to toss and turn. Yeah, caffeine, man. It'll get you. And then sugar. It'll get you too. I mean, what can you do? So as we know, the darker the better when it comes to chocolate. All right, witches. We have a question of the day. This comes to us from listener Judith. Judith says, from our Patreon, I would love some ideas on how to decorate my home for pagan Christmas. I want it to be special for my grandbaby and my pagan home. I have some ideas from the book Pagan Christmas that my husband got me, but as a solitary practitioner, I would like to know what others do. So this is really fun. And here's the thing. Luckily for us, so much of Christmas is already pagan, so odds are if you have a special tradition, there's a chance it's pagan, right? So that already gives us a little bit of comfort, but let's see what other things are. For me, a lot of my personal stuff is centered around food. I love food projects. So me and my family, we definitely have like a handful of movies that we have to watch every year. And it's a reasonable amount. Like I have 4 I have to watch every season. My mom has 2, which one of those overlaps. So it's really easy for us to watch 6 movies over like the course of a week when I'm in town for Christmas, right? So we do movies. We do Christmas breakfast, even though that stems from my mom being a hospital worker because she had to work on Christmas a lot. So we didn't get to do – so Christmas dinner just wasn't a thing. But like Christmas breakfast has always been very important. And that's pretty much it. Like those are really our big ones. We have a new tradition of watching The Umbrella Academy because we just so happened to have been watching it when I'd be in town, and I'm in town during Christmas, that kind of became a thing. And sometimes we eat chocolate and drink Prosecco. But that's pretty much it. But I'm sure other people have, like, better traditions. This comes to us from otherworldlyoracle.com. You can put candles in your window, which is an Irish custom. Placing candles in the window guides your loved ones home for the winter months. You can make ornaments by pricking oranges with cloves and then hanging them as ornaments. They are called pomanders. You can bake cookies. So Advent calendars, even though it is Christmas, Christians think of it as coming of Jesus. Pagans can view it as the coming of the sun. Ooh, you can do mulled cider or mulled wine. That's a really fun project. So get like a pot and put cider or wine and then put out like the spices you typically put in mulled cider or wine. So cinnamon, cloves, maybe some cardamom, honey, maybe a little salt, right? And you can go with over it with your grandchildren, like explain the properties of each one and go, okay, like, let me think of one. Like, okay, cinnamon is all about being warm and cozy. Do you want to be warm and cozy? And they'll go, yeah, because of course they do. And then you go, okay, do you want to be a little warm and cozy? Or do you want to be a lot warm and cozy? And they'll be like, I want to be a lot warm and cozy. Or maybe they'll be like, I just want to be a little warm and cozy. So you can let them put in however much of the cinnamon of the amount for which they want to be cozy. And you can do it for each one. It's a really fun activity. It kind of introduces spell work. It's really kid-friendly, and it's delicious because then you get to drink it. Gingerbread is really fun. You could do cookies for Odin instead of Santa, or both. Maybe Odin and Santa are bros, and they can both have cookies. Oh, that'd be a cute movie, Odin and Santa, just like having Christmas hijinks. Oh, so something I did once for my coven, when I had a coven a million years ago, I put together a Frau Hall scavenger hunt. So if you don't know the story of Frau Hall, I think we tell it during one of our Christmas specials. Frau Hall is this crone, and it's a fairy tale, but the idea of the fairy tale is that if you work hard, you are bestowed with great things. And if you don't work hard, you're not bestowed with great things. So what I do is I created a scavenger hunt where my friends had to get their gifts, or my coven had to get their gifts. So they had to like work for their gifts. So it was kind of like a Frau Hall honoring thing. Let's see. There's a lot of options here, so I'm trying to pick the ones I think are really cute. Oh, you can put together a Yule altar or a Yule log. So you can do a traditional Yule log where you get a stump or like a log, and you carve out holes in it as candle holders. You light it, and you like let it burn slowly, or you can decorate a log and then throw it into a bonfire, or you can do a cooking adventure and make a Yule log, like with cake. Like they do in Beauty and the Beast. Or the Christmas Beauty and the Beast. Ooh, hot cocoa. So like what I talked about with mulled cider, you can do a similar kind of activity with hot chocolate. You can put oranges in their stockings and kind of explain to them the symbolism of it. Bonfires. Dough ornaments. Let's see. And then a lot of stories. You can tell a lot of stories. Oh, you can tell them about Krampus. It's really, yeah. I think those are really some good family-friendly activities. All right, witches. So we are wrapping up this episode of the Witch Daily Show. I want to give a shout out to listener Cassidy. Cassidy, you wise, innocent Kraken. I also want to give a shout out to Lillian. Lillian, you tenacious, esoteric tiger. Candace, you dapper, graceful Wendigo. And then finally, Stephanie Pinion. Stephanie, you celestial avant-garde unicorn nurse. Thank you for so much being Patreon supporters. I really, really appreciate it. And before we leave, we do have a card pull today. Ooh, our card today is Hell from Deep, Dark, and Dangerous. Things can never stay the same. Change must be accepted. Be flexible. Keep walking through difficult circumstances. Do not stop and get stuck. Acceptance allows you to move on faster. Surrender what is no longer yours. All right, witches. That's all I've got for you today. Don't forget, we still have our Black Friday specials going on for witchwaymag.com and sipaspell.com. So sipaspell, 30% off the whole website, code Black Friday. Which Way Magazine, if you add both a printed and digital year subscription to your cart, the digital subscription is free. It's automatic, so you don't have to put in a code. Just put them both in your cart, year subscription, and it is free. And what else? Magazines are $5 off. So instead of $14.99, they are $9.99. And then our digital magazines are from $4.99 to $1.99. And then use code Black Friday for that. All right, witches. That's all I've got for you today. You know what? Embrace the cozy. I think we all deserve an opportunity to re-regulate our nervous systems just a little bit, right? Okay, so we will talk again tomorrow.
Witches, we hope you have a wonderful day, full of joy and gentleness and confidence. Links for this week's episodes, our website, Patreon, along with a free daily card pull can be found at witchpod.com. One stop for everything we talk about. Now, take one more deep breath and have a great day.
I had an abortion when I was 15 years old in my home state of Arizona in 1994. It was not a decision that I made lightly, but I have never for one moment doubted that it was the right decision for me. But so much has changed in Arizona and many other states since then. If I were that same 15-year-old in Arizona today, legally, I would have to get parental consent. I would be forced to undergo a medically unnecessary ultrasound, go to a state-mandated in-person counseling session designed solely to shame me into changing my mind, and then take a state-mandated 24-hour time out to make sure I really know what I wanted. And finally, I would be forced to give the state a reason why. Well, here is mine. It is my body, not the state's. Women and their doctors are the ones that are in the best position to make informed decisions about what is best for them. No one else. No bill that criminalizes abortion will stop anyone from making this incredibly painful decision. These bans will not stop abortion from happening, but they will drive women and girls and people into the shadows, which is what this has always been about, shaming and controlling women's bodies. In the week after I shared my story on my show, women were coming up to me in the street, in the supermarket, at my gym, with tears in their eyes, thanking me for my bravery. But the word brave didn't sit right with me. Why is it brave to speak to an experience that millions of people around the world throughout history have gone through? And then I realized it is considered brave because as women, we have been taught to feel shame about our bodies since birth. I am so sad that we have to sit here in front of a row of politicians and give deeply personal statements because the why doesn't matter. It should not matter. I am a human being that deserves autonomy in this country that calls itself free, and choices that a human being makes about their own bodies should not be legislated by strangers who can't possibly know or understand each individual's circumstances or beliefs. I'm here today to help destigmatize a legitimate medical procedure and continue to encourage women not to allow themselves to be shamed for their choices. And finally, I am here today for my two little girls, Birdie and Cricket. My dream for them is that they will live in a world in which women are truly equal with complete control over their own reproductive health. That is the dream I hold for all people, regardless of their privilege or parents or what state they live in. That dream is slipping further and further from reality with every ban passed. I hope that you, our elected leaders, can help us reverse the tide. Thank you. I look forward to today's discussion.